Good morning. Welcome to the Australian Early Finance Briefing for Wednesday, the 12th of August 2020. My name is Nick Hurley here in Melbourne. Touching on what we mentioned yesterday with Qantas, their rather humiliating retail share purchase plan, which was aimed to raise $500 million and only raised 72. Alan Joyce has mentioned that he blames timing on this. So, you know, it coincided with tightened border restrictions across the states and territories, sparked by the Victorian outbreak and small clusters elsewhere. He says, while the Qantas Group's recovery plan anticipates some uncertainty associated with the pandemic, the timing of these events and their implication for travel demand had an obvious impact on the Qantas share price and the take-up of the offer by eligible shareholders. However, it is rather surprising that such a small, only 5%, took it up, if even with, you know, slightly incrementally tighter restrictions. Moving to global markets now, overnight we had the announcement that Russia has been the first country to register a vaccine with global vaccine authorities. They have developed what's called an adenoviral vector-based vaccine, which is one that uses a modification to the common cold virus, the adenovirus. But there is a lot of sort of conjecture about whether this vaccine is up to speed, or whether it's, you know, maybe just some propaganda from the Russian state. So on CNBC TV, they had the former FDA director, Scott Gottlieb, mention that he wouldn't take it. He's certainly not outside a clinical trial. It appears it has only been tested in several hundreds of patients. He warned that because it's an adenoviral vector vaccine, it is similar to the approach being used by CanSino, which is one of the sort of private companies developing a vaccine. They have had a lot of trouble using this adenovirus. But he says it's not a trivial vaccine, and the adenoviral vector is very complex. It's not at all clear how efficacious the Russian adenovirus vaccine is going to be. But this is, you know, building this case for, you know, a vaccine. As I mentioned yesterday, Goldman Sachs, as in all their sort of macro models, assume that there will be something effective in the first half of next year. And that has spiked yet more of a sort of rally in global markets, particularly in the US. We've seen quite a big shift from the sort of technical factors of momentum, from momentum through to value. Zero Hedge is mentioning that the value momentum swing, the sort of 5-day aggregate percentage change, is ranking as in the top six since at least 2010, which going hand in hand with monster thematic and sector reversals. So basically, there's a profound shift we're seeing in the markets today in the last couple of days, and that's this the long run of the sort of momentum stocks, which you could sort of proxy to the NASDAQ, the large cap techs, that's been driving returns up until, you know, now. And now with this sort of, oh, hang on, the economy's actually got to boot up again. There may even be potential inflationary fears going forward. And we're seeing a big rally in the small cap US stocks, the ones that are more exposed to the domestic economy. You know, that Facebook doesn't really get affected by, you know, one particular country anymore, whereas, you know, a lot of the smaller US companies do to the US. Now, we're also seeing a decline in gold. We've seen a 3% fall in the gold price. So you may be asking, well, why is gold going down if inflation expectations are going up? Now, there could be a couple of reasons for this. Firstly, we're starting to see some positive yields pop up in sort of the, you know, the debt markets as a result of these inflation expectations. So that means that there's now some potential scope for positive returns. And that's something that we weren't seeing before. and there, you know, it was a matter of choosing between bonds with no return and gold with no return. Gold isn't, you know, linked to the US currency, so, you know, it was a more appealing alternative. That for the sort of the moment has gone. Additionally, people could be selling their, you know, profit taking on gold and using that to invest in this sort of the reflationary trade, switching back somewhat into value stocks that have been, you know, really, really battered this year. And the small cap as well, which you're seeing it's really outperforming in the last sort of few trading sessions. Now, there was an analyst on CNBC earlier today mentioning that the people that are sort of saying, oh, well, you know, the gold rally's finished now because of the vaccine being developed, they're not really looking at the full situation. You know, before I move on, firstly, the bonds, you know, if Treasury yields are creeping up, it will only take the Fed to say, look, you know, that's not what we want. We're going to sort of force them down again and sort of crank up the, you know, the bond buying or whatever programs to suppress that. Now, you know, the reality is that these programs, you know, there's no intention whatsoever to sort of wind them up or scale them back. So the CNBC analyst mentions that, you know, the fundamental factors that have been driving up the gold price are not changed. So that the sort of monetary and fiscal policies that have driven gold past the $2,000 mark are going to continue. And this analyst mentions that, you know, it could go past 3,000, 4,000, or even $5,000. And moving to the markets now, as I mentioned, the Nasdaq is down about 60 basis points, with the Dow Jones up 1%, and the small cap index up about 70 basis points. Gold is sold off a lot. We're seeing, you know, it's down almost 3.6%. Now, we've also got coming up today lots of company reporting. So corporate reporting season is picking up. We have the Commonwealth Bank, Computershare, Downer EDI, Magellan Financial, QBE, SEEK, and Transurban all reporting later today. We've also got the Westpac Consumer Sentiment Index reading coming out. And that is your early finance update for Wednesday. Have a great day.
This podcast is for investment professionals only and should not be relied upon by private investors. The podcast is provided for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial advice. The values of investments can go up or down, so you may get back less than you initially invest.